Welcome to Big Blend Radio's Global Adventure Show with travel writer Debbie Stone. Welcome, everybody. Travel writer Debbie Stone is back taking us to Hawaii, a place that she keeps going back to. She kind of does that with certain places. Oregon is one of them. Washington State is one of them. I could go on. Actually, there's a list because the thing is, we call her the fire monkey. She doesn't stop. And we call her fire monkey. I always like to remind people of why she is called the fire monkey. And that is because she got that name when she went to Bhutan. How many years ago was that, Debbie? Like Bhutan was like, what, 7 years ago? Like five,
yeah, maybe
six, seven?
Six maybe years ago. Yeah.
Wow.
It's been a
Do
while.
You feel that connection in Bhutan, like going to Hawaii, those kind of like Asian influences when you were in Hawaii?
I think, anywhere you go, West Coast and beyond, so to speak, you feel the elements, the meld of those, whether it's the Asian cultures and, the South Pacific and Islander cultures, especially with food, definitely,
And that's what we're talking about today.
Yes.
Because you went on another food tour. Now, I know everyone, Debbie loves a food tour. And I know
Absolutely.
You love them, not just because of the food, but whenever you go on a full food tour, don't you kind of feel like you're getting the history of a culture when you go?
Yes, and I feel like it brings me closer to the culture or a better understanding of the culture, at least in definitely elements of the culture, I think, are more defined, I think easily more defined when you're like doing a food tour or even a cooking class. Also, I feel like there's an element of authenticity to that I really enjoy when I'm traveling.
And then also you're getting a lay of the land too about what people can grow. So you're getting the microclimate kind of, that
definitely.
Lowdown of what they can grow, the climate and
right.
All of that. So you're really getting what can go on for people. So this conversation, everyone, is based off of an article that Debbie wrote, Savor the Flavors on an Aloha Plate Hawaii Food Tour in Honolulu. And this article is up on blendradioandtv.com. You'll see it in an upcoming issue of Eat, Drink, and Be Merry magazine. The show notes, as well as two other podcasts we've done with Debbie today about her adventures in Honolulu and beyond, right? So you went to a ranch where you got to see where food was grown and be a movie set. And Kualoa, am I saying that right? I'm going to make sure.
Yes.
And so now you go to Honolulu, and so that's kind of interesting to see both sides, to go to the actual place where where animals are raised and fruit and vegetables and flowers are grown, and then actually go on a food tour. So that's got to be very cool to have both sides.
And especially this food tour, the man who owns and operates the company and serves as a guide is Lanai Tabura. And he grew up on Lanai, actually, which is interesting. But he grew up in a family of foodies. And so, he learned early on about food and that, it just seemed natural for him that he would do something with food. And so maybe some of you have heard his name. I had not, but if you are a Food Network person who watches a lot of food shows, you might have heard his name. He was winner of the Food Network's Great Food Truck Race. He
we like
is
that.
Host of Lifestyle Network's Cooking Hawaiian Style. He also appeared on the Travel Channel's No Reservations, where he co-hosted with Anthony Bourdain and cooked for none other than Bourdain. And he said to us that he loves to travel. He gets to travel and eat, and that it's the best job that he has. It really is, and he does food tours not only in Hawaii, but he does food tours in Japan and China, Thailand and Portugal.
Wow. So you got it. So he is like an icon. He's a foodie icon.
Definitely an icon. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he knows.
Yeah. And the fact that
he
knows Bourdain too. Like, I'm sorry. I still miss Bourdain. I still can't believe he's gone. It's very hard to rewatch like episodes,
it is
kind of like, oh, but I was talking about also the agricultural side, and he took you to Foodland Farms. And so I think that's really important too, because then you got to see the actual.
It's It's actually not a farm. It's just a store.
Nope.
It's a grocery store. But it is well known there because it has a fabulous produce section, which he went to show us the different kinds of things like apple bananas and sugar cane and pineapples. And it was very interesting because a lot of people believe that, you know, pineapple is a symbol of Hawaii, and it has been, but it's ironic because it's not native to the islands. And, you know, the pineapple industry was built there, but at one time the state was really supplying over almost 90% of the world's canned pineapple. But growing that fruit became cheaper in other countries, and so the canneries and the everything folded in the 80s, and so the fruit is no longer. It is no longer. You cannot get pineapple from Hawaii. It's not exported.
Wow.
It's rather, it's grown solely for Hawaiians. You can get it when you're in Hawaii. But you cannot. It is now no longer exported.
Because I thought that was the whole thing with the Doles getting over there, and that actually goes into some of the history of statehood and not statehood.
Yes.
And
Yes.
There's drama. Let's just put it.
There's a lot of,
like,
yeah, there's a lot of
there's
drama
stuff,
there.
Which is
But
history.
but
you know.
You know, it was interesting to learn that because a lot of people had no idea about this, that they were no longer exported.
I didn't know that at all. Yeah.
But Foodland Farms is notable for one of the largest selections of house-made poke. And, you know, if you go to Hawaii, poke is what you will find all over the place, you know, and it is fabulous. It's wonderful. And this store sells 1 million pounds of poke each month. And poke, I learned, means in Hawaiian, means to cut, a cut, cube, or slice. And so at this store, the most popular was the ahi yellowtail. And so we got to sample different kinds of poke, which is wonderful. And then they have something called the spam musubi, which is basically grilled spam that's been sandwiched in between or on top of a rice block and wrapped with the nori, the edible seaweed. And it was brought over by Japanese immigrants when they came to work on the plantations. And it's a big deal in Hawaii. But it, you know, once again, it, you know, wasn't there to begin with. The GIs brought it when they were
Yes.
in World War II. And so now, though, there's more than 15 different flavors of spam. I'm not a fan at all. And but a lot of people love it. And if
you're not a
Hawaii,
fan of spam, I just had to say
no,
that because it
I'm
rhymes.
Not a fan of spam, exactly. But anyway, so you know, that was something to hear, to learn about. So while you're eating and tasting and sampling, you know, Lanai tells you about history of things and interesting tidbits about the food that you're eating and the history of the food and how it came. You know, whether it is something that is, you know, there in Hawaii and has been there in Hawaii forever, or whether it was brought over. And then we went over to Honolulu's Chunwa Kam Noodle Factory, which is like a really popular noodle and bun factory, which is the buns, which are called manapua, is like a steamed bun, and it can be sweet and savory. And so, you know, the ones that are full of pork are probably the most famous, but they can make them with chicken. They make them with azuki beans. And as I said in my story, they're like these mini little soft pillows, you know, and the company there sells 14,000 of them each day. I mean, this is like, you know, this is the food people love. They, you know, Hawaiians, this is what they love. They eat this, you know, all the time. And then from there, they took us to the Hawaiian Chip Company, and, you know, we had taro chips and wonderful, you
okay,
know,
taro.
I love
backtrack.
Taro. Yes.
Let's go back on that, because taro is like a root that
Yes.
we sometimes see in our grocery stores, and we go, what the heck is that? What do we do with it? And we're like, I don't know, right? But in Hawaii, taro is like a staple, right? That's like a
yes,
main ingredient.
It's a starchy vegetable, root vegetable, you know, and they use this everywhere in everything. And you know, so in the chips, we have that there, but you can also have it just taro that's made.
Are they sweet? Are the chips sweet?
It's kind of like nutty tasting in my mind. I said
okay.
It was kind of mild and nutty. And I love taro chips. They're like I could eat a whole bag of those, you know.
Like
so,
sweet potatoes are
yes.
Swedish, but almost not. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet potatoes have
Ooh.
More of a sweeter taste. This has a little bit more of a, I think, a
nutty.
Nuttier flavor,
okay.
You know. So, but,
Ooh.
You know, taro, you know, they will, you know, do it. The luau's, you'll find them. You know, you'll find taro that's been cooked, and, you know, it can be wrapped in banana leaves or coconut leaves or whatever, you know. And Then, you know, we went to a fish market, which is where we actually sat
Oh,
down
I
to
know.
have a
Listen, I'm
lunch.
going to interrupt you here because you've already had yellowtail.
Yes.
You had to enjoy this food tour because of the fish. I know you
Oh,
and
gosh.
fish. Yeah, you're happy,
Absolutely.
happy girl. But I
Very
also want to
happy.
backtrack a little bit that you went through
Yep.
a Chinatown. You
Oh,
passed by it on
yes.
the tour, which is
Yeah.
something people wouldn't probably think of being in Hawaii, right? And because isn't there, is it mostly a Japanese and Maori culture, right? Tell me if I'm wrong, because I have not
It's
been there
full.
yet, so I'm allowed to
Well,
be wrong.
it was the first Chinatown outside of China that was created, and it's
Wow.
really a melting pot. According to Lanai, he said that you know, all these various Asian cultures have you know, come and established their places there, whether it's restaurants, whether it's markets, whether it's even herbalist, Chinese herbalists and acupuncturists, a lot of health related practitioners. So there's a variety, you know, so it's kind of a meld of Asian cultures there that you'll
Yeah.
find.
That's
So it's
awesome. I know
interesting.
Makana, who's been on our show, the musician, he's, you know, half Chinese too. So it was like, I
Right.
was like, oh, I didn't know that that was going on in Hawaii. So
Yes.
that's cool to know. So you went by there. Do you want to go there? Like go to, I know you didn't get chance to go there, but would you go? And
Of
I
course.
mean, yeah,
Absolutely. Yeah. If I had
I
had
would want
time,
to
I
go.
would have gone back and found a fun little dim sum restaurant or, you know, something, and
Yeah.
or peruse the markets. I love looking at the markets
I
and seeing
think
all these interesting, you know, things that they're selling, you know.
it's just interesting to me because every time you go there and other writers go, I'm always like, Hawaii seems to really understand like strength of culture and celebrate cultures. Like you're allowed to be who you are, right? In a way, it's like it feels very much like be who you are as your cultural roots and
I
to
think
be strong about it. And food is
culture's,
part of that.
yeah, food is a huge part of culture, but I think culture is very important to the Hawaiians, and traditions are very important to the Hawaiian people. And so, you know, you know, there's a resurgence on especially like the island of Hawaii, what they call the Big Island. But you know, there's a resurgence and using, you know, Hawaiian terminology and names and language you know, food is all a part of that, and it's wonderful that you can go and you can appreciate, you can feel like you've really stepped into an area where there's just a whole different meld of cultures that you might not be accustomed to from where you know, are coming from, you know?
Yeah, I think on the mainland, if we haven't been there, which I have not. So please, sorry if I mess up any names. You want to learn. We want to learn. And I think
Of
America
course.
as you know, on the mainland, we have a lot of still learning to do about the cultures, how to pronounce things. It's you know, we've always said Hawaii, but it's Hawaii, Hawaii,
Yes.
you know. We're
Hawaii,
all
yeah, and Lanai,
still
and
learning.
you know.
Yeah, it's all too, we're all still learning. And so I think the best way to learn is to go. But let's go back to where you were first talking. I interrupted you, sorry, but I wanted to talk about Chinatown. I didn't want to let go of Chinatown. You were talking about Young's Fish Market. So this is really cool. So when you go to a fish market over there, is it mostly like seafood or is it freshwater fish? What kind of fish are we looking at? Because I know
All different
you had a
kinds
good
of
time.
fish. Yeah, it's all different
Ooh.
kinds of fish that they have. So this market, part of it is a market where you can actually go buy and fish, buy the fish and take it home. And the other part is a
Oh.
restaurant. And so they are known for their Hawaiian plate meals, which are very distinctive over there. And they're usually including things like poi, things like sweet Hawaiian sweet potatoes, things like lomi lomi salmon, the the kalua pig, and lau lau. And I had to learn, you know, what some of this was, you know.
Kahlua pig. What?
And it's a type of pig, but poi is, you know, everybody, if you don't know what poi is, it's once again a starch. It's a staple of the diet in Hawaii. It's made from the taro. And so we were just talking about taro. So if you cook it and mash the taro, you're going to have poi. And it's kind of got a purple color to it. It is one of the superfoods because it's high fiber, low sodium, gluten-free, vitamin B,
Wow.
calcium. It's really, you know, if you existed on anything but if you just had poi, you would probably be doing quite well. And so it is a staple of the diet there. And lomi lomi is just kind of a mix of raw salmon, and it's got like some tomatoes that are diced up and onions, and of course sweet potatoes, which are wonderful. They're purple in color. I love sweet potatoes. I'll eat them anytime. And
me
Kahlua
too.
pig is basically roasted pork that's shredded and cooked in an underground oven. And I have an interesting note that I wanted to mention. I learned that women in Hawaii were forbidden under these ancient codes of conduct. They couldn't eat pork, and they couldn't eat food of like bananas or even coconuts, and they weren't allowed to eat with men. And these laws stayed in effect until King Kamehameha II abolished the system in 1819, which finally allowed women to eat bananas and coconuts and Kahlua pig and to eat with men.
Wow. So this took, see, we've all been fighting no matter what part of the world, right?
These were these strict, you know, this ancient code of conduct that the king, instilled, and women, you know, were forbidden to do many different things, but to not to eat bananas, not to eat, you know, coconut, and not to be able to eat with a man.
And you think now, like, as women, you know, we'll walk around and just like, oh, eat a banana. But you've got to think, you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah,
I'm looking at bananas right now as we record this going, don't let the banana go to waste now. Like, women were forbidden to eat those and coconuts.
It's crazy. And then the lau lau that I mentioned is basically kind of a combination of pork and fish. And they wrap it in a tea leaf. They steam it. And this is another, like, luau type of dish. And, you know, so when you have a plate lunch, you'll have many of these different components. And so, yeah, it's a wonderful way to be able to try several things at one time on this food tour. And, you know, I highly recommend doing something like this, whether you're in Hawaii or whether you're in any city and place part, whether it's in, you know, in lower 48 in the mainland, whether it's in Europe,
Venice,
in Asia,
Venice, like
anywhere,
you did Venice.
Venice, yeah. And it just I've taken them all over the world, and each time I love them. I come away with a real good knowledge base of the food and the culture, and it's not only that, it's just very tasty.
Well, and now can I mention this ubay?
Yes. Ube.
What's going on with this? Yeah. What's this? Because that sounds interesting.
So the shop is called UBAE in capital letters. Stands for ube before anything else. And ube is a type of yam which is noted for its vibrant purple color. It has a very creamy texture. And over the years, it's become kind of a craze in, particularly in ice cream. I've seen it in ice cream shops a lot. The first time I ever had ube was in ice cream, and it was in Molokai many years ago. But since then, I've seen it, you know, pop up everywhere. This shop is wonderful because they take the ube, and they make cheesecake and cheesecake tarts and cookies and cake and pies. And they make these different things. And I had these little bite-sized ube cheesecake tarts that were just yummy, yummy, yummy. In fact, I'm getting, I'm craving for one.
I'm like, you said cheesecake. That's it for me. I'm ready. Bring it, you know.
Anyway, it was a great way to end the tour, you know. Something sweet for dessert, yeah.
But not oversweet, right?
No, not at all.
So this is all through secrethawaiitours.com. That's the website to go to, and everything is linked in the show notes, Debbie's article, so you can see the photos, so you can drool. And, you know, when you go to Honolulu, this is where you go. You go do that. Would you say this would be one of the, like, if you land in Honolulu, try and do this before you do anything else? Would it be one of those kind of ways to learn and get your bearings in a way?
I think it's a great idea, but I also think for another reason, because you get to kind of sample the food, and you get to kind of see what you like and maybe what you don't like, but also you get to pick the brain of, you know, Lanai, who knows everything and can steer you to, he gives you a whole list of restaurants and places to go to that he recommends in Honolulu. And so, you know, it's really nice. That kind of knowledge is nice. And so you can, you know, you can say to him, hey, I'm looking for, you know, a good place that's, you know, reasonable, that, you know, has some really, really good pokey or whatever it is, you know. So That gives you a lot of information before you, you know, start to go off and you know, eat at different restaurants in town. So yeah, it's a great way to kind of introduce yourself.
So I'm just going to say, like, I would like to meet Lanai, like, honestly,
Yes.
like, I think we have a little jealousy now going on. You know, I'm just saying that you met
Well,
an icon that knows all the
he's
foodie
definitely a
stuff.
character, and he's
He
very
hung out
interesting,
with
and
Anthony Bourdain, you know, like, come on. Cooked for him too, co-hosted a show. Like, hello, hello, like a little jealousy, just a little. So, everyone, you may want to go check it out. The links are in the show notes. Stay tuned because we've got another episode coming up. Thanks, Debbie. Fire Monkey.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Big Blend Radio's Global Adventures Show with travel writer Debbie Stone. Debbie is here every fourth Tuesday. You can keep up with us at bigblendradio.com.